It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn, this day before Valentine's Day. Yeah, Valentine's Day weekend coming up. We have a good show lined up today. We have several guests with whom we will be chatting. Our first guest in just a couple of minutes, actually, is a physician in Canada. And way up in Canada, in Yellowknife, in the subarctic. Yeah. Her name is Dr. Courtney Howard. We're going to be talking about eco-anxiety in young people. It's a big subject in the news worldwide these days. Also, visiting with us later today, Philip Brashear, sharing the story of his father, the late Carl Brashear, who was the first African-American master diver in the U.S. Navy. It is quite a story, quite an heroic story, as a matter of fact. And we're also going to be talking about Twilight Wishes later on the program today. So we have a lot of territory to cover here on the It's Your Turn program on a Thursday. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll join up by telephone up in Canada with our first guest, Dr. Courtney Howard. We will be right back.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Hi, this is Howie Pentney with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pentney at Pentney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
On the next segment of It's Your Turn, listeners, I'm Dave Mullarkey, and we're going to be talking about children becoming concerned about climate change. And is this good or bad? We have a distinguished guest to explore this topic. She is Dr. Courtney Howard. Dr. Howard is an emergency physician in Yellowknife in Canada. That's in the subarctic. She's also board president of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. Dr. Howard, welcome. Nice to be able to chat with you for a few minutes here today.
Hi, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When we talk about children taking action on climate change, the first thing I think most people think of right now is Greta Thunberg, right?
Yeah, she's been an incredible communicator to kids, youth, and even adults worldwide. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about how to communicate climate change and the bottom lines, and every time I read a speech of hers or see her on video, you know, she's just managed to say things in such a direct way, in a way that I think sometimes adults haven't been able to, and she's really motivated a lot of people because of that.
She has spoken in a variety of different forms. In fact, she's spoken directly to world leaders recently at that gathering in Switzerland, right?
Yeah, she was a speaker at Davos and again was saying, you know, it's time to take action. And as I thought more about it, I've realized that in a sense, she's going around and delivering bad news over and over and over. You know, as a physician, We actually take courses, not that we're necessarily great at it, but we take courses on delivering bad news. You know, how do you tell a patient that you saw something on their chest x-ray and it's worrisome and you're going to have to refer them to a specialist and they may need a biopsy, you know, it may be tuberculosis or cancer. You know, those conversations are really difficult to have for everybody, and they take a lot out of you as a healthcare provider. You know, I've been on the patient side of it too, so I know that's more difficult. But even as a healthcare provider, it's difficult. It takes a lot of energy to relay upsetting news to somebody. And so when I think about it like that, it kind of makes sense that we've gotten to this point where so much of our population still hasn't had the bottom lines of climate change sink in. And with Greta going around and, you know, continuously delivering this news to these big rooms of people, you know, I really feel as though we owe her a debt of gratitude, because that's a difficult thing to do.
You are not only a doctor who studied the effects of climate change, you're also a parent with a couple of daughters. Is it okay for parents to bring their kids to the table on this, to talk about climate change and their concerns?
Absolutely. You know, as I've become a parent, I think I've realized how smart kids are. I had a lot of respect for kids before. I was a gymnastics coach and a dance teacher and a camp counselor and all sorts of things. So I spent a fair bit of time with kids. But I think the more time you spend with them, the more you realize that they are really bright, really wise little beings. And so just as I think, you know, it makes sense for us as adults to recognize that and to, you know, give them a chance to work for their own best interests in many parts of their life, you know, like, hey, you want to buy, you know, some jeans. Well, here's an opportunity to have an allowance where you're going to work for that and you're going to be able to buy the jeans. You know, I think it is respectful for us to essentially level with them about where we're at on climate change, because it gives them an opportunity to work for the best outcomes that they can help achieve as soon as possible. And that's really relevant, because we're in a time window right now that we're not going to get back in terms of, you know, if we rapidly decrease greenhouse gas emissions, we can protect the health of a child born today. So if they want to start working on that early during the time window where it's actually going to be the most effective, and I actually think that's a gift that we can offer them, is our support as they try to do that.
Can you talk a little bit specifically about how climate change is affecting human health, Doctor?
Sure. So the World Health Organization says that climate change is the biggest health threat of the 21st century, and it's becoming clear why. So these really severe wildfires that we're seeing in many parts of the world, up here in Yellowknife, we had 2.5 months worth of smoky days off and on in 2014 because of about 250 wildfires that were ringing our community, which is already about 2.5 degrees Celsius warmer than it was when today's elders were born. You know, we've seen these evacuations in the United States, in California, because of wildfires. I was speaking to an emergency physician in Calgary a couple of weeks ago, and he said that 20% of his department lost their homes to a wildfire in the last couple of years. Can you imagine? So, you know, wealth isn't protective. It impacts everybody. We're seeing Lyme disease change distribution across Canada and the U.S. We're seeing increasing flooding, which makes it, you know, it's never a good day when your basement floods, and sometimes that means people have to evacuate and there's loss of property and it's expensive, and those stressors can lead to different kinds of mental health and substance abuse issues. We're seeing longer and more severe hay fever seasons, which makes it really difficult for people who suffer from hay fever. More broadly, in the world, up here where I live, we depend on ice to use as highways a lot of the time, so those are becoming more unstable, which makes it difficult for people to hunt for caribou, which has consequences for food security and, you know, the sharing practices that are involved in sharing a good hunt. And, of course, the rapid landscape change and, you know, the loss of really beautiful places or beautiful experiences. If, you know, the lake that you've gone to since you were little during your, you know, summer vacation is all of a sudden clouded in smoke, it's actually very sad. And so those changes and also the anticipation of further change can be regarded as feelings of ecological grief or eco-anxiety, and we're certainly seeing increasing expression of those feelings in our communities and in the media.
And no part of the world is safe from this. I mean, we had the horrible wildfires in Australia, some of which are still burning. And I can remember a few weeks ago reading on the a wire story about how the smoke and the pollution had now spread from those wildfires in Australia all the way across the South Pacific to South America. And then a couple of days later, they were seeing it in Australia. No place is safe, right?
It's true. And, you know, that smoke has been shown to probably increase mortality, so that's a big deal. And the thing is, you know, people with more money, you know, have more ability to pick up and leave. So during our smoky summer here in Yellowknife, I actually picked up and left about a week earlier than I otherwise would have because I had two little kids and I didn't think it was probably good for them to be breathing the smoke. And I remember the boarding lounge at the airport was just packed with families with young kids, but not everybody had the money for the plane flight. So, you know, the people who have more money were still impacted, who have more privilege, you know, can sort of maneuver in the world in a way that allows them to minimize the impact, but certainly no one is safe. And when you think about the fact that given the greenhouse gas emissions that are already built up in the atmosphere, we're committed to further warming. You know, we'll often hear people say, you know, are these wildfires a new normal? And it's important we realize that they're actually not, because we're still riding this curve up for, you know, until probably at least mid-century. So we're going to have a real sprint to do in terms of adapting to these impacts, but we also have this other sprint we need to do in terms of decreasing greenhouse gas emissions so that we eventually reach a plateau in warming that we hope that we can cope with.
You mentioned a word that may not be familiar to a lot of our listeners a moment or so ago, eco-anxiety, with kids being frightened and sad, too, about climate change and pollution. Can you talk a little bit about concrete actions that parents can take with their kids to help them deal with these?
Sure. So I think the first thing to realize is that it's really normal to be worried about this, to feel sad about this at this moment in time. And I think that the more we talk about it and the more people realize that it's normal, the more we're going to have the kinds of conversations that will bring us into the community that we need to support one another. And that also is really what we need in order to make the change that's required. So the most important thing, I think, is to acknowledge to your children that it makes sense that they're worried. You know, their future is looking different than the future we all would have wished for our children. And as parents, I think it's really important to realize that our emotional response has an impact on our children's emotional response. So I sort of try to do my very best to take care of myself in terms of exercise and in terms of getting enough sleep and also in terms of taking action so that I can be centered and respond in a centered way to my children's concerns. So what we know from the literature is that sharing is important. You know, if you think about group therapy for any kind of thing that worries people, you know, similar principles apply to this. And also that taking action feels better than anxiety. So when we make changes that are consistent with this new reality that align our work and our time and our money with what we know we need to do to leave a healthy planet for our kids, it feels way better. You sort of get rid of that feeling of dissonance. And that's what our kids need to see from us for it all to make sense. Because if there's this big danger and we're the adults and we're supposed to take care of them and they don't feel like we're taking care of them, all of a sudden there can be a loss of trust there and a loss of feeling cared for or protected. And we want to work to minimize that. So problem solving as a family and involving them in that, you know, trying out different plant-rich recipes because we know that a more plant-rich diet is better for the planet and is better for our health. Biking to school if we can because we know that getting out of our cars will decrease air pollution and decrease our greenhouse gas emissions as well as improve our health and decrease chronic disease and let us get to know our neighbors. And working to clean up our electricity supply so that we make electricity in ways that, you know, don't produce air pollution. So phasing out coal is actually a really big priority. We've done that in a couple of provinces here in Canada, and we've seen decreased asthma rates in kids. And so there's a lot of benefits to families to doing the kind of work that's required to keep the planet healthy that we'll feel right now, and it just feels better to be doing that work together as families.
Dr. Courtney Howard, our guest. Dr. Howard is an emergency physician in Yellowknife, Canada's subarctic. She's also a board president of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the environment. Nice to talk with you today, Doctor. Thanks for being with us.
Really nice to chat with you. Sending wishes for a good day to everybody down there.
I'll echo that. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Are you 65 years of age? Did you know you are eligible to ride free transportation? That's right, free transportation. Sign up for your free transit pass at Butler Transit Authority's downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street. Ride the local Butler buses to shopping, destinations, medical appointments, and more. Feeling more adventurous? Take the bus to Pittsburgh. Shop, dine, and explore all that Pittsburgh has to offer. Visit our bus terminal or butlertransit.com for more information.
All right, let's talk about West End Tire and Service. They are proud to continue a tradition of excellence with the same great people that Siemens had for years and expanding on and adding new and improved services like shocks and struts, brake service, oil changes, front end alignments, tire rotation, tire repair, tire retreading service for heavy-duty trucks, and more. Trained technicians, if you stop in, they'll check your air for free, give you tire evaluations anytime. Stop by to see what's new. Visit them on Facebook, too, as well. West End Tire and Service, West Cunningham Street, next to Battery Warehouse Bus in Butler, 724-287-6973.
Boy, listeners, I've been looking forward to chatting with our next guest here on It's Your Turn for a while. I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Chief Warrant Officer for Philip Brashear. And he chats with us by telephone today from Richmond, Virginia. First of all, nice to have you with us here today, sir. Great to talk to you.
Oh, sir, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
This is Black History Month. Americans are celebrating the accomplishments of African Americans throughout our nation's history. And folks, I got to tell you, Philip Brashear's father is one of our true great American heroes. You've probably heard of him, and we'll talk about that in just a moment or so. First of all, generally speaking, what's the significance of Black History Month, especially as it relates to the U.S. military?
Well, sir, I will tell you that the contributions of African Americans is not a celebration of just Black history. It's an integral part of all history. American servicemen and women have left their mark on history in our society, and there's been no war fought by or within the United States in which African-Americans haven't served proudly. So, actually, we're just celebrating American history as we celebrate Black History Month, sir. It's all American history.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is so sad. I can remember many years ago, I'm a bit of an amateur historian on World War II, and I can remember many, many years ago when I first read that the American military was still segregated during World War II. I never knew that as a kid growing up. And I was so saddened and so astonished to see that. I mean, it's heartbreaking. My goodness, that was in the 1940s, Philip. Wow.
Yes, sir. And to be more exact, more than 1 million African Americans served in uniform, but they served in segregated units, sir. The President Truman didn't desegregate the military until 1948.
Yes, yes. Well, we have some pretty famous groups. The Tuskegee Airmen come to mind straight away.
Yes, sir.
And then there's your father. First of all, tell our listeners who your father was and what he did.
My father, the late, great Master Chief, Master Diver of the U.S. Navy, Carl Brashear, was the first African-American diver in the Navy. And he was the first amputee to return to active duty status despite losing the lower half of his leg. And he made such an impact on the Navy, sir, that Hollywood decided to do a movie on him. And in November of 2000, the movie Men of Honor came out in honor of my father depicting his life.
I can remember when I saw that movie. It was one of the, you know, most movies, you know, I've read about, I've read a review, I kind of know what I'm expecting. I did not know what I was expecting when I went to see Men of Honor, and it was one of those films that I, you know, when the movie was over, I just kind of sat there in my seat stunned. Folks, if you haven't seen it, go rent it or buy it somewhere. Men of Honor, it starred Robert De Niro, and Cuba Gooding Jr. played the part of your father, right?
He sure did, sir.
So, was the film pretty accurate? Did it tell your dad's story accurately?
Yes, sir. All in all, there's five hurdles that my father overcame, and that movie tends to take each one and kind of expound on it. My father, of course, joined the military as a poor sharecropper's son at the age of 17 with an eighth-grade education. So right off the bat, sir, my father endured racism, poverty, and illiteracy. And then it goes through his career, and he became a diver, which was a feat in itself. But during his career in the 60s, he was part of a horrific accident where he lost the bottom part of his leg, his left leg. The Navy wanted to retire him and put him out on disability, but he fought to return, so he was the first amputee to return to active duty.
And by the way, when he was a Navy diver, and I won't know the proper terminology here, Philip, so feel free to correct me, but it was not what we think of today as a scuba diver, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Your father wore the big suit and the heavy metal diving helmet, right?
Yes, sir. They were pretty much underwater specialists. They would repair ships, lay mines. It was not the scuba gear that most people are familiar with. It was the heavy hard hat diving that was a whole lot more strenuous, sir.
And pretty dangerous, too, we might point out.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us a bit of a time frame? When did your father begin diving? When did he become a master diver?
Okay, my father graduated from diving school in 1954. And there's different levels that you have to attain before you make master diver. My father didn't make master diver until 1970. Mm. But from 1954 up until 1970, he graduated from every level to that point, becoming first class and certifications that lead up to being a master diver, which he achieved in 1970. I don't know all the levels of certification, but it was a span of 15 years before he went from being a diver to the point where he became a master diver. And a master diver, sir, is the top of the hill for diving. That's the guy who's in charge of everything, and everybody listens to him.
Talk a little bit about the tragic accident in which your father lost his leg. This was, boy, you talk about a dangerous mission. This occurred in the mid-1960s, and it had to do with trying to recover a nuclear warhead, did it not, Philip?
Yes, sir. In 1966, off the coast of Spain, two Air Force planes collided. One of the planes had nuclear weapons on board. Three landed on ground, one landed in the ocean. My dad was already an established diver, so he was part of the team to recover that bomb that they knew fell into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Spain. They were just trying to find it and recover it before any mishaps happened. During that whole operation, they were looking for the bomb on the ocean floor with no results. But during that mission, my father endured an accident where some heaving lines on board the deck were pulling a piece of lead pipe. The tension on that rope was so tight that the lead pipe broke free, and with that tension, it flung across the deck, and that's when it hit the lower part of my dad's leg after he moved some people out of the way. Luckily, he didn't get killed by this operation, but it did tear off the bottom part of his leg.
Wow. And he continued to dive after that, huh?
Yes, sir. He decided, well, the best thing to do is to go ahead and let them amputate it. And during that amputation, they actually cut his leg off, and they had to cut another inch off after they found out they didn't have all the infection covered. So he actually had two operations to amputate his leg. And he knew in his mind that he wanted to return to diving, and he went through all the rigors of getting his body back in shape to wear that 300-pound diving suit and become a reinstated Navy diver again.
300 pounds? That's what that diver suit weighed?
Yes, sir, with the breastplate, the helmet, the shoes, and the weight belt, up to about 297 pounds.
My gosh. When did your father pass away, Philip?
My father passed away in July 2006. It was halfway through my Iraq tour. I was a helicopter pilot over in Iraq when I got the Red Cross message that he was ill. I came home for 30 days, but during the first 5 days, I sat at my father's bedside and held his hand as he passed away July 25th, 2006.
Wow. Did he ever talk about his experiences to you?
Sir, until that movie came out in November 2000, I had no idea that my father endured the hardships that he went through. Of course, I grew up with him having an amputated leg, but until the movie came out, sir, I had no idea, and we talked about it. In fact, we talked about it up until the day he passed away when I was in his hospital room talking to him. He just didn't share that kind of information with us kids at home.
That is not unusual, as I'm sure you know. even with the World War II veterans for many years, in fact, many decades, they just didn't talk about their experiences and what had happened to them, even to their immediate family members. Well,
yes, sir.
At least you were able to talk about it with him before he died, and that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
You have a special wristwatch that you put on every morning. I find this to be a wonderful story. Could you share it with our listeners, Philip?
Yes, sir. I keep a website on my father with all of his accomplishments and tributes and honors, and Swiss Watch Company saw the website, and because they make aviation watches, they make diving watches, they make race car driver watches, they wanted to honor my father with a wristwatch. So they contacted me through the website and proposed the idea. Well, in 2016, they came out with the first edition, and because these artists, these watch companies, want to make it special, they call a limited edition. It's what they call a limited edition version of a Carl Vacher dive watch that came out in 2016. Within days of release, it went worldwide and sold out. Well, the company thought it was such a great idea the first time that in 2018, they revised the watch, made a different version of it, released 2000 again, and just like before, sir, 2 years prior, the watch sold out worldwide. But on the back of every watch, it has my father's name and my father's famous saying, "It's not a sin to get knocked down, it's a sin to stay down," which in turns means when life hands you lemons, make lemonade.
We're chatting, listeners. If you've joined us a few minutes late, we're chatting with Chief Warrant Officer for Philip Brashear. And it's so great to have him with us here today. You mentioned you have a website. Can you give our listeners that website, Philip?
Yes, sir. It's carlbrashear.org, O-R-G. Everything about my father includes the ship, the buildings, the bridge in Kentucky, everything about my father, to include a little bit about the movie. I don't try to harp on the movie, but just a little bit about the movie. All of that's on the website, and all of the things that have been bestowed upon my father since his passing are on that website for everybody to see.
Philip's father, the late Carl Brashear. Let's talk a little bit about your military career. Can you review that for us? You've had many, many, many years of military service, Philip.
Yes, sir. Like my father, I wanted to join the military, and I did so by joining the Navy Reserve in 1981. I didn't have a degree, but I did manage to earn the rate of being a helicopter crewman. After a few years, I was thinking to myself, well, I can't fly because I don't have a degree, but I would love to fly. During a conversation, I found out that the Army had a warrant officer program where guys could come in and be pilots, which in 1989, I switched to the Virginia Army National Guard. The colonel kept his promise that I interviewed with and sent me to flight school. So in 1990, I became a warrant officer helicopter pilot up until today. So it's been a great 30-year stretch of flying Army helicopters and serving my country in that capacity.
And you did a tour of duty in Iraq?
I did a tour of duty in Iraq, sir. And like I said, halfway through my Iraq tour was when my father passed away.
Do you have any siblings, Philip, brothers or sisters?
I have three. Well, I have one brother who's deceased. He passed in 1996. I have an older brother and a younger brother, but none of them joined the military like I did.
I love some of the stories that you share. your father would say to you, "There's always divers looking for pilots. There's never pilots looking for divers."
See, my father had his way of putting me in my place. I used to tickle my dad all the time. When I was 14, I was already taller than my dad. My dad only stood 5'9", and I'm almost 6'4". And I looked at my dad one day while I was in the front room, and my mom was in the back washing dishes, and I looked at him. I said, "Dad, how come I'm so tall and you're so short?" And he looked up at me like a good father did and said, "Son, before you came along, I was out to sea a lot, so you better go ask your mother."
Wow.
So he had his way of putting me in my place from time to time.
I tell you what, Philip, just chatting with you here this morning, I'm going to I'm going to rewatch that film. I'm going to buy the DVD because I can remember when I first saw it many, many, many years ago how much I enjoyed it. I'm going to add it to my collection, especially now that I know that it's, you know, very, very accurate following the story of your father. The film is Men of Honor, by the way, folks, if you're looking for it. And Philip's father, the late Carl Brashear, what a hero. What a hero. You must be so proud of him, Philip.
Oh, yes, sir, I am. I tell you what, having that name and being his son has really opened a lot of doors for me when it comes to being able to relate and share his story among many people now. It's not just military. He's world famous, and to just ride his coattails and be able to just keep promoting his name and telling people about him, it really does a lot of therapy for me just to speak his name and know that people still honor and respect him.
A pleasure to speak with you today, sir. Thanks so much for sharing your story and your father's story. Thank you so much, Philip.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. Take care.
Sure. So long now.
Heading out of town for that special Valentine's Day getaway? Be sure to stop by Tobacco for Less for all your smoking and vaping needs. They're Western PA's largest glass emporium, complete with hundreds of glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a 19-foot vape juice bar. Even their health and wellness department stays fully stocked with a great selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
February at Osterling's Lawn and Garden is filled with amazing gifts for your pets. If you didn't know, this month is Pet Dental Month, so grab some Frontline Oral Defense Chews, Petnology Oral Care Toothpaste, Primal Instinct Dental Bones, or even Sports Mix Grain-Free Dog Biscuits. Osterling's also has plenty of horse treats and snowman bird feeders. And remember, with spring just around the corner, vegetable seeds will be arriving very soon. They'll have everything you'll need at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Here's what's coming up next. Greatest Hits USA.
Hi, this is Chuck Taylor inviting you to join me for Greatest Hits USA this weekend. Greatest Hits USA takes you through the past with the music from the 60s, 70s, and beyond. Plus the fun stuff like news from the past, the birthday bunch, and your requests too. So turn it up this Saturday after the news at noon for Greatest Hits USA right here on WISR.
Greatest Hits USA.
Welcome back, friends. What a story, huh? With Philip Brashear there and his dad. Wow. I saw that movie many, many years ago. And as I said to Philip, it's just a great flick. Robert De Niro, Cuba Gooding Jr. And it's all true. It's all true. We're going to be talking about Twilight Wish, the Twilight Wish group, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here today. And in the studio to fill us in on this, talk about it, is Linda Toma, who is a volunteer with Twilight Wish. You're also with the Community Health Center, right?
Yes.
Well, tell us about Twilight Wish. Sure. I know a little bit about it, maybe just enough to be dangerous. Tell our listeners what the Twilight Wish group is all about.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us here today, or having me here today. So Twilight Wish is all about making wishes for seniors. Mm-hmm. We want to celebrate seniors, and we want to make their dreams come true. Sometimes that can be, it can be simple everyday items, like maybe a grab bar for the shower, or maybe a shower stool. But it can be bigger wishes. One of my favorites that I was first involved with, we had a lady, she was actually a coworker of mine, and she always had on her bucket list, she wanted to do a hot air balloon ride. So we got that arranged, and we followed the balloon like a paparazzi, and we had flowers for her, and champagne, and we just celebrated her the entire time, but she got her wish of riding in a hot air balloon.
Have you ever ridden in a hot air balloon?
I have not, but it was even just following it was pretty exciting. It was fun. It was fun. We were on back roads that we had never been on because the balloon goes where it wants to go.
That's
so
right.
We're following the trailer car and trying to keep up to it. So
I did it once.
And yeah. Then
you go where the wind takes you.
You really do.
You don't guide those things.
You do not.
You can make it go up or down with the propane heater, but that's all you can do.
Yeah. And where she landed or where they landed was in a very residential area. They came down in somebody's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no pre-planning for that. So the dad and the little girl was home and they came out and they were all excited to see this hot air balloon, and you know, we kind of had to ask permission, can we be on your yard? Not a lot we could do, but the whole day was fun. It was just a fun time.
How long have you been a volunteer with the Twilight Wish, Linda Toma?
I've only been with Twilight Wish officially for about a year. I've helped peripherally, like with the hot air balloon ride, and then we always have a fundraiser every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten to go to that fundraiser every year, and that's really why I'm here today to talk about our upcoming event.
Is it soon?
It is soon. It's next Thursday. It's February 20th, 2020.
Oh, so a week from today.
Yeah, so a week from today. It's at 5:30, and it's right up the street here at the back alley at the 11th Frame Bar and Grill,
mm-hmm.
which is connected to Family Bowl Away.
Oh, yes. I've been there yeah. many times. So, do you have to get tickets in advance, or can people go at the last minute?
You can definitely go to the last minute. We do have tickets available now. I have those tickets. They're $10, $10 donation, and then some of the other volunteers do as well. But if you don't come across us, the best thing is just to show up that day. Show up at the 11th Frame. We'll be happy to sell you a ticket to come in. And there's heavy appetizers. The appetizers, they do a great job with the food.
Mm-hmm.
So the food's always really good. We'll have DJ Robert Pfeiffer of Pfeiffmaster Productions. And then we're in the new room at Family Bowl Away. It's called the Back Alley.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the duck pin bowling, bocce ball, cornhole, pigskins and pins. Then on top of that, we also do a basket raffle. We're looking for raffle donations. So if people want to provide a gift basket, we would be most appreciative. There's always a 50-50, and of course, it's a cash bar.
What a fun evening that'll be.
It is. It's a nice evening. It's a nice low key. It's right after work, so it's at 5:30 till about 8:30 on Thursday. And it's just a nice evening, a lot of networking and a lot of time together. We talk about some of the wishes that we've granted over the last year, and sometimes we have a grant recipient or two that's there at the event to talk about their experience.
And you could go duck pin bowling. I've bowled regular bowling. I've never bowled with duck pins. It's smaller pins, right?
It's smaller pin and a smaller ball.
Mm-hmm.
And
bocce, of course, is a very small ball.
Yes,
but that's a great game.
Yeah. So they have all that in that. It's a beautiful room. I don't know if you've been there yet.
I have not. No.
But it's right off the bar area at the Family Bowl Away, and it's a brand new room. It's really beautiful. The floors are all, you know, the original bowling alley, and mm-hmm. So it's beautiful.
For listeners who've never been to Family Bowl Away, where is it?
It is. Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know the address. It's right on Fairground Hill.
Right off Henson Avenue. That's
exactly. Thank
know,
you.
Know that
thank
is.
You.
You I start up the hill toward
the high
school campus or the intermediate campus. Don't go the whole way up.
No. Halfway up, make a right.
there you are, Family Bowl Away. And by the way, hats off to the folks there because they're always accommodating to help groups with fundraisers like this.
Exactly. And, you know, they really, Tricia, who always worked at Family Bowl Away, you know, she's on our team, too. She's one of our regular volunteers. And so she always puts out a great show for us, and we appreciate that. And then I do have to mention our big sponsor, Seckler Law Firm. They are our biggest sponsor for the event, and we're very appreciative of having them.
We're talking about Twilight Wish Foundation, folks, if you're not familiar with it. They do good things. And this is actually, this is the Butler County chapter we're talking about here, but it's all over the country, isn't it?
It is. It's nationwide. So there's chapters all over the country. But we're fortunate to have our own chapter here in Butler County. We've been, Jean Bowen, who is a resident here in Butler County, she actually formed the Butler County chapter back in 2010. So we've been going strong since then, so 10 years. And
I know Jean. In fact, she was with us
last week. She was. She was here about the VITA.
Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program.
Yeah, she wears many hats.
I did not know that she was involved in getting the Twilight Wish group started.
She really is. And she's really, the brains behind everything. When we get somebody, we have an upcoming wish. We have a resident at one of the nursing homes. This is a younger lady. She's like 54, I believe she is. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be in there for a while, but she would like a laptop in order to take some online classes. And so we're going to provide that laptop for her. Now, our typical guidelines are 65 and older. But if they're in a nursing home, we do make exceptions. And it's a small group of us, so it's up to us. So we make the decisions.
Do you find people, or do people apply to you? How do you make the connection?
Sure. So the wishes come from a multiple different directions. They can apply through the website, which is twilightwish.org, and they would select the Butler County chapter, and there's the applications right online. They can do that. They can also call Jean Bowen. Her other hat is she works at Center for Community Resources, but they can call her directly, 724-431-3752, I believe is her number. I'll have to verify that. But if they call CCR and ask for Jean Bowen, they would get her. So they can apply through that. Any one of us volunteers. A lot of us work in the community. I'm at the Community Health Center. Penny is at Quality Life. We have many volunteers, Life Butler County folks. And so we sometimes the wishes just come to us. We hear about it. We hear about the need, and we look for a solution.
We need to take a break. We'll chat more with Linda here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR when we come back in just a moment or so. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and their client aid program. And the client aid program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, client aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart, so think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. We're chatting about the Twilight Wish Foundation here on the It's Your Turn program. Listeners, did you know that we had a Butler County chapter here? Yeah. And a pretty active one as well. I was looking on the website, some of the more exotic, I guess, wishes that have been fulfilled that I jotted down. There was a picture of a woman who, on her 80th birthday, wanted to go skydiving,
mm-hmm.
and the Twilight Wish fulfilled that. I sure not for me, 80th birthday or not. There was another woman who wanted to ride in a big 18-wheeler, mm-hmm. one of those giant trucks.
Yeah,
which would be a fairly simple wish to fulfill, I think, and it wouldn't cost a whole lot of money.
Right, exactly, yeah. exactly. We get a wide range of wishes. I think you'll see on the website right now, too, is actually my Aunt Jane. Her wish was to meet Neil Walker, who was a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Oh, yes, the Pirate second baseman some years ago.
That was her wish, and luckily he was still playing with the team at the time. So our Gene Bowen worked with the Pittsburgh Pirates. We actually had a bus and took my Aunt Jane. She has 13 children, which then have children and marriages, and so very big family. So we actually rented a bus, took the whole family down. They're all in bright yellow shirts. If you check out the website, she got to go down on the field and meet Neil Walker and even give him a little kiss. And so she was very excited that she got to do that.
Neil Walker, graduate of Pine Richland High School. He's a local boy.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Still playing somewhere. He went to the Mets.
But he did trade. It was like the next week. He moved on from Pittsburgh. So the timing couldn't have been better for Aunt Jane anyways.
I think he's with some other team now, but he's still active. I was sad to see him go from the Pirates.
Sure. I think a lot of people were. Yeah, I think a lot of people were.
Local guy.
Yeah.
Well, some of the wishes are pretty exotic. Some are pretty simple. It's amazing how a little gesture or a little thing can make a senior feel so happy and so fulfilled.
Absolutely. Some of them are very practical, like the grab bars for the shower or bath chairs. Some of them are hearing aids. We get a lot of requests for hearing aids.
Yeah.
Hearing aids are expensive, and we do work with a provider where we only pay a small portion of the fee, but Twilight Wish Foundation will pay that, and then the participant works with the provider and gets their hearing aids at no cost.
I know you've only been a volunteer for a relatively short time. I wonder how this all got started nationwide.
I think
where it got started.
Right. Gene Bowen definitely has a heart for serving, and needs just kind of come to her. And she knew about the program, and she investigated opening a chapter here in Butler. And once she starts something, she goes for it.
You have this event coming up next Thursday evening. It would be a fundraiser for you, right?
It is. It is a fundraiser. I just want to tell you a little bit about all the money goes to the wishes, so that will help support our wishes for the year. We are a 501c3, so we are a nonprofit, and we try to use the monies to the best of our abilities. We try to work out deals through local businesses and agencies, so if we can get a better deal, like in the laptop, we have a connection at a local store that will help us and give us a better price than what we would pay just going off the shelf.
Sure.
So we'll be able to stretch that money even further.
Can people, if they're just learning about the Twilight Wish Foundation, or if they're so inclined to help out with a donation, can they do that too, just straight away a donation?
Absolutely. So we are always appreciative of donations. And I did get Jean's correct number throughout the break. So her direct number is 724-431-3732. And she can walk you through the donation process. And that can be even for our fundraiser event. We are collecting basket raffles that we can, people will sell tickets to, and people will put their tickets in to win prizes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are collecting those. And if you'd like to sponsor the event, we're still always open to sponsors for the event.
And even though that's only a week away,
mm-hmm.
People can still
absolutely
donate a basket or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would appreciate it if you have an interest in donating a basket or being at the event, just show up.
And this is open to any and all. You don't need any connection with Twilight Wish or anything like that. You don't have to be related to somebody who's getting a wish fulfilled.
No.
Like that.
It's open to the community. And we find that a lot of people that come, work in some sort of aging services or, just have a heart for seniors. We all have friends, family, relatives that are seniors that maybe they're interested in a wish, or maybe they were touched by someone and now they want to give a wish. So if you would like to help us, we would be most appreciative, and we'd love to see you at the event.
Are you and the other volunteers involved in, I don't know how to phrase this, in delivering the wish?
We are. So we make it an event.
I was guessing that you do.
Yeah, we do. We do. We had the last event that our wish that I was involved with was a lady that she is an organist at her church, and she loves to play the piano. Her piano in her apartment broke, and it was not able to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And she was no longer able to get to church, but all she, you know, she just wanted to play that piano. So we did, we bought her an electric organ, and we took it to her with, we had Butler Eagle there, we had flowers, we had cupcakes, and we all went as a group, and we just celebrated her. And that moment was all about her and getting her piano back. And, you know, she played for us.
I was going to say, did she play a little bit
absolutely
for you?
Absolutely, she did. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A smile as wide as from here to Conequenessing, probably.
Absolutely, huh? Yeah. She was overjoyed. Yeah, very happy.
So I mentioned earlier some of the things I saw on the website, some of the wishes, fairly exotic, and perhaps, depending, it could take a good bit of money to pull it off.
Sure.
But others, I mean, just simple gesture, a simple thing.
Right, right. It can be really simple. And, you know, one of the big ones that we did do recently, too, was we had one of our volunteers has a patient that is actually now in hospice. Now, the girl that's in hospice is actually younger.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and there are two girls, so they're the one in hospice and the other one, it's just the three of them in their family, and they know that time is short, so they wanted to do one last beach vacation. So it was over, I believe, Thanksgiving we did this. We sent them to the Carolina Shore. We got them a hotel room right on the beach. We actually worked with this is one of those examples where Gene called the hotel, and we worked with the hotel. And when they found out why we were doing this, they took off all the extra fees and charges. So we just paid a flat rate. They upgraded her room to an ocean view so that they were able to enjoy that. And it was really just a lovely, nice vacation for them. And we will have photos of that vacation at our event next Thursday.
I need to take a final break here. We'll be
sure
back to wrap up our conversation with Linda. Linda Toma, visiting with us and sharing information about the Twilight Wish Foundation here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR for a Thursday. We'll be back after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Have you made your plans for Valentine's Day yet? Well, Romeo, it's time to start thinking about dinner. Treat your loved one to dinner at Michael's Restaurant and their great homemade food to accommodate everyone's lifestyle. Michael's Restaurant is offering their fabulous sweetheart special all Valentine's Day weekend. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
We're chatting with Linda Toma, and of course our conversation is centered around the Twilight Wish Foundation, but I should mention that, Linda, you're Director of Operations at the Community Health Center.
Yes.
The Jean Purvis Community Health Center.
Correct, yes.
Named now in her honor,
mm-hmm.
Since she was the driving force behind getting the whole thing going.
She really was. She really was.
A decade or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was recently honored a week or so ago down in Pittsburgh. Were you there?
Yes, I was there. It was a great event. It's the Senator John Hines Volunteer Award through the Tocqueville Society, mm-hmm. And the United Way. And it was a great event. Jean was there. She is 98 years young. And, you know, she really was our founder, our inspiration, our creator of the clinic. And if you think about it, we're celebrating what we're in our 12th year at the clinic. So she was in her 80s when she created the clinic.
Yeah.
So, and for those that don't know, it's Jean's desire that we continue, that we provide free medical care, dental and behavioral health services for folks that do not have insurance, people that fall through those gaps where they just can't afford to purchase insurance, they're over income for state insurance, and they just fall through those gaps. So we're really there to fill that gap and to build that bridge.
These are people who are working sometimes two or even three jobs, but jobs that don't provide health insurance.
Absolutely.
To their workplace.
Right,
and,
right.
What are they going to do?
Right, right. And they have, you know, health issues as well. And if we're going to keep them working or going to keep them functioning in our community, they need their prescriptions. They need health care. When you have dental pain and you have no place to go, it's kind of hard to want to get up and go to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really there to fill that gap and serve those folks that just don't fit any of the normal programs.
And the president of the Pittsburgh Steelers was at the event where Gene was on it.
He was. Yeah, it was a pleasure to meet him and shake his hand. Gene had her picture taken with him, and they let us out on the field, which we thought was a lot of fun. And so we ran out on the field and got lots of pictures taken out there as well. And you can check a lot of those out on our Facebook and our Twitter and our Instagram from the Community Health Center.
Terrific. Well, let's review the upcoming Happy Hour benefit, it's called, for folks who perhaps were not with us at the beginning of our conversation with Linda. This is a fundraiser for the Twilight Wish, Butler County chapter of the Twilight Wish. And you've been doing this for, what, 4 or 5 years now, right?
Well, our chapter started in 2010, so this is actually our 10th year.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I've only been with the chapter a little over a year.
Well, they fund these wishes that are fulfilled for seniors, celebrating seniors and making dreams come true. They fund these through donations and through a fundraiser that's coming up a week from tonight.
Yes.
Next Thursday evening. Run down the details of that again, if you will,
sure,
please, Linda.
Sure, sure. So it's next Thursday, February 20th. It's at 5:30 p.m., and we will be at the back alley room at the 11th Frame Bar and Grill, which is connected to Family Bowlaway. That is on Fairground Hill off of Hanson,
mm-hmm.
right?
Hanson Avenue, yeah.
So you can join us for appetizers and music, lots of games. There'll be a basket raffle, 50-50, and a cash bar. And we just have it's a nice, laid-back, relaxing evening. We'll talk a little bit about Twilight Wish and some of the wishes that we've provided and, you know, share that with everybody.
And you can get in for a $10 donation, for goodness
sake. Yes, yeah, it's only $10, and it's heavy appetizers. Family Bowlaway does a great job with the food, and we truly appreciate them. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Seckler Law Firm. We truly appreciate them and for sponsoring the program, and we're very thankful.
And you can go at the last minute next Thursday evening?
You can. Just show up at Family Bowlaway, 5:30 p.m. And if you have any questions about Twilight Wish, you can call Jean Bowen, 724-431-3732. And also, if you want to check out our website, twilightwish.org, that is the national program, but right now you'll see one of the Butler Wishes, Aunt Jane.
Yeah, terrific. Hey, Linda, thanks for stopping in and enlightening us on this. This is good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
Nice to have you here today.
Sure.
And we thank our earlier guests as well who visited with us here on the program today, Philip Brashear and Dr. Courtney Howard. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we will talk, among other things, about your heart. You know, this is Heart Month, February Heart Month. We talked earlier this week about heart failure. Tomorrow we'll talk about heart attack. They're two different things. And what else do we have tomorrow? Oh, Valentine's Day tomorrow. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
It is, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about love. Love. What is it? How do we understand it? Love. I have a guest joining us, actually by telephone, from England, from the UK.
Wow.
So it'll be nice to talk about that tomorrow on Valentine's Day. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'm Dave Mullarkey. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Mullarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. They toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.